Say expectation. Say again, say expectation. Now, you've heard me so many times speak on this when I've said that expectation is like faith. In fact, when you read scripture and every time that you find the word faith and you read it as expectation, you would not be incorrect. It is one and the same thing. It accomplishes the same goal. It works towards the same results. Expectation and faith is one and the same thing. And so faith, expectation is like faith, a very powerful force that is responsible for the shift of seasons in your life. How many of you in this morning can say, Pastor Martin, I'm in desperate need for a shift of seasons. The season that I have been in has been far too long, but it's time for a shift of season. You see, expectation is the very force that will induce a shift of seasons in your life. If you're sitting here this morning and saying that I need a shift of seasons, then I have to go to church prepared, meaning I have to come with an expectation. Expectation, like faith, is a very powerful force that will cause you to shift position. You will step from one position and you will go up to a higher position. Expectation, like faith, is a powerful force, invisible yet very powerful, that is responsible for the breakthrough that you're so desperately waiting for. How many of you sitting here can say that I am waiting for a breakthrough? There is a breakthrough that needs to come urgently. Then it means that you need some sort of expectation. You see, when I come to church with an expectation, I am subconsciously sowing a seed of hope. Hope that heaven will respond. Hope that there will be a response from the only eternal, everlasting, great and awesome God. That He will respond to my situation. That He will respond to my circumstance. A hope. It is known as hope. And let me tell you this morning in Carnet Church that we serve a God that is more than capable of responding to everything that you are currently facing. It is known as faith. Even as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I came with a word in this morning, and your hearts will need to be open. Your spirits will need to be open, and you will need to hear every word. Take it into your spirit. When you leave this service, you will have to apply it. Can I have an amen to that? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, New King James, from verse 32 to verse 34, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Are we all together in this morning? Amen. I know that I just fell into it and I just started strong, but because of time, I have to get into this. Are we together? What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and the prophets, who through faith, through what? Let me tell you, encounter, there is something known as a spiritual system. And the spiritual system is known as faith. And they are saying, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of liars, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, meaning that they've overturned the camps of the enemies. This is exactly the results that you want to produce in and through your life as a born again believer of the living God. And this is exactly the type of things that we will be getting into throughout the series. We will be touching on the technicalities and the legalities of faith. Are we together now? Listen, the most important message that we can preach on is faith. It is the very foundation of Christianity. Even this gospel that we preach, it is a gospel of grace. It is a gospel of peace. It is a gospel of righteousness, of unconditional love. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the very spiritual system designed that will give you access into this new covenant that will give you access to this peace and this grace and this righteousness, to this unconditional love. This spiritual system is known as faith. Say with me, say faith. Now, put on the screen for me, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. And I'm just teaching this morning. Amen. And we'll be getting into it. Now I'm just laying a foundation this morning. Are we together? Put on for me the Amplified, normal Amplified, AMP. And it says, for it is by grace. Say by grace. Now the Amplified, I love it. It explains the word Christ in brackets for you, so you do not need to go and study scripture. And it says, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ. Now, if I remove the brackets for a moment, it reads, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Say saved. Then it explains the word saved or salvation. It says that it is actually delivering you from judgment, bringing you out from a place of sure judgment. And instead of judgment, it gives you what? It gives you the gift of eternal life. Are you guys with me? There's a spiritual system designed, and without your engagement to the system, you cannot and will not receive salvation. Are you guys with me? And it says, and this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God. Listen, Encounter, I want to tell you that there is a spiritual system in existence. Whether you believe it or not, whether you can see it or not, there is a spiritual system in existence. And the only way that you can receive salvation is when you engage with the system. For the Bible says that by grace you were saved through faith. Through faith. Through faith. It is the very foundation of Christianity, through faith. The spiritual system is the very thing that will cause you to produce the Jesus kind of results. But you will have to understand the technicalities and the legalities of the system if you want to become a partaker of the benefits that are connected to the system that is known as faith. Say faith. Come on, say it again. Say faith. And this morning, I want to accomplish something, and that is to add to your faith, because each and every one of you have already been given a measure of faith. When we speak about measure, it means that it can be quantified, meaning that I can increase or I can decrease it. And this morning, I want you to add to your faith, and that there will be an increase of value. Because when I come to a church service, I cannot afford to leave the service and nothing have changed. I must leave the service knowing that something has shifted, something has changed, that I have received something that will take me to the next level. I don't know if I have got someone in this morning that can say that is me. So what is faith? The acronym for faith, meaning that every letter in the word faith stands for something, F-A-I-T-H. And it means this, full assurance. Say assurance. I need you to get something in this morning, short but powerful message, but you must catch this. Full assurance in the heart. Meaning that I have been convicted and therefore convinced of the truth that God indeed, because of His unconditional love, I believe that He has sent His only begotten Son. As according to John chapter 3 verse 16, for He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, have faith in the statement, shall not see death, shall not perish. I am speaking about the second death. Shall not see or face the lake of fire, but they shall have everlasting life. They shall be saved through faith. Full assurance in the hearts. I believe that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who emptied himself of all divinity and came into this world, and that he took upon himself the sin of this world, all your sins and all my sins, and he took it in his body and he pinned it to that cross. Listen, if you want to know what is real faith, it is in demonstration when Jesus Christ hung on that cross. Let me explain. For the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, NIV, for he himself bore our sins in his body on that cross. And then it says that we might, say might, that we might just die to sins. What a statement. Meaning he did this not even being sure that we will accept the sacrifice. But what did he do? He relied on the words of the Father, for whom he would have many conversations with. Even just before his crucifixion, he went up the mountain and he spent some time with the Father. And he said, my Father, if it is at all possible, please let this cup pass from me. For what is ahead, I don't know if I can see this thing through. But if it is at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, my God, not my will, but your will be done. And right there, he surrendered every part of his life under the authority of God's word, under the authority of the words of the Father, saying that I trust, nevertheless, my Father, I trust and I believe in what you have spoken, and that this plan that we have set into motion will indeed produce the intended results, that they might, just might, die to sins and live for righteousness. And live for righteousness. Say faith. Come on, say again, say faith. I want you to get this thing in this morning. Now, I'm just laying a foundation. Amen. Many of the things that I might touch on might be a bit repetitive. But as Paul has said, I will bring you into remembrance. You see, there's a system in the spiritual world, and this is the way that it works. And God has designed it this way, that he will hit you with a word, and then he will hammer it again, and he will hammer it again, and he will hammer it again, until it pierces into your heart, until it pierces into your spirit, and it becomes a reality, and you start to live and do things that you could never do before. This is how we stretch our spirit, man. This is how we grow in the spirit. So what I'm doing is I'm bringing you into remembrance. I'm hitting that word into your spirit and into your hearts until it becomes a reality. Not everything, but some of the stuff will be repetitive because we preach a lot on this topic. Are we together? Are we together? So let's start the foundation by what is the definition of faith. And I'm going to give you a biblical definition, not a natural definition of the word faith and what it means. And obviously the best description found within Scripture itself of the definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, King James. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Come on, I want you guys to repeat this after me. Say, now, faith is. Come on, carry on. Some, you see, from the onset of you reading this verse, many take it so lightly. And therefore, because it's such a short verse, we'll just kind of skim it over, without getting into the technicalities of this verse and what every word actually means. And therefore, they miss great spiritual significance that is locked up in this one verse that gives the foundation to Christianity itself. Are we together now? And so it says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. For example, when we speak about things hoped for, many people will see or think about this word hope as, I hope this will happen. I hope that is going to come to pass. I hope this. No, it does not mean that at all. The word hope in this context actually speaks of surety. Full agreement that this thing will happen. It's not a hope that I hope that this is going to happen. No, no, no. It means that your heart has been convinced, and with full assurity you stand knowing that what is locked up within Scripture itself is indeed applicable to my life and will indeed come to pass. I don't know if you're hearing this. And even when we speak about the word substance in its very essence, let me just backtrack a bit. Before I get into this message, really get into it, I'm going to be sharing with you vital information that carries the potential. Say potential. That's the key word here. It carries the potential to produce life-changing results. But now that being said, please take note that this message cannot, you cannot afford for this message just to remain information. It must move from a dimension of information where it becomes transformation. Where I have left the service and something have changed on the inside of me. So how do I change information to transformation and unlock the potential, the power that is in within the words that I'm releasing into the atmosphere? When I first hear it, I'm not saying listening. When I hear it, I receive it. I take it into my spirit, man. I believe it. And then I place it to action. Please understand that applied knowledge is the thing that produces power. And even greater, God's applied knowledge produces the supernatural power of God. And so even though this message might be an inspiration to many, it is of far greater importance that you take it and that you apply it. Are you guys with me? The worst thing in life is this, is being inspired and then not to act. That is the worst thing in life, being inspired and then not to act. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 2 verse 17, NIV, for even in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Which means that if I receive information and I do not apply it, I will remain at the position that I am at. It will simply just not produce any results. You will remain at the position that you are at. So if you're saying that I have got a heart's desire to go up higher and to go deeper into the things of God, it will require action. It will require participation from your side. I hope that you guys are hearing this. Amen. So please take note that you must receive this information. Take it into your spirits. Go apply it. It must change you. There's no use me standing here preaching or teaching or giving the word of God and you not taking it and not applying it. That part I cannot do for you. You must go out and apply the word. That is faith. Meaning I can only apply or be obedient when I have faith, when I believe in His word, which means that when I go out and do not apply the word of God, I lack faith and therefore I am disobedient. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even the word substance, now although it kind of means this, but it goes further and beyond this. When we speak about substance, many see it as something that is tangible to the natural senses, something that I can see, feel, and touch. The word substance in this context does not mean that. Are we together now? And it says, now faith is. Meaning that faith is always current. Faith is always present. You need to get this. Faith is always today. Are you guys with me? But now in the original rendering of the text, the word now has been removed if you go study it. But still if I remove the word now, the verse still reads, faith is. And the word is still makes it now. The word is still makes it current. It still makes it present. It still makes it today. The word is still placed the very verse itself in the present continuous tense. Meaning that I must hear what faith is, what faith has got to say for today. And then again for tomorrow. And again, are you guys with me? I cannot afford to rely on yesterday's faith today. It is a common mistake for believers to do this. They think they can live off of yesterday's faith today. You cannot. You must hear what faith has got to say today, and then again for tomorrow, and then again for the day thereafter. Why? Because it is always now. It is now. It is present, continuous. I don't know if someone is with me in this morning. Amen. And it says, now faith is the substance. I just want to hurry up because of time and I want to get through this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there's a two-part factor of faith, what it is. It is substance and it is evidence. Faith is substance and it is evidence. Two things. It is substance and it is evidence. Now, when we take the word substance, it comes from the Greek words hypostasis. Now, hypostasis is a compound word. Please understand that we're speaking about the word substance now. Bear that in mind as I break this thing open. We're speaking about substance. What if faith is substance, you want to understand what is the word substance. Are we together? So, substance is a Greek compound word, hypostasis. The first word, hypo, which means to be under. It's the word under. And then the second word is histemi, and it means to stand. So when I get the word hypostasis, it means that I'm taking a stance while I am under something. Which means that, listen, if you want to know what is the perfect will of God, how many of you can say that's me? I want to know what is the perfect will of God. Come on, don't die on me now. How many of you can say that I want to know the perfect will of God? It is this, faith. It is this, faith. That is the perfect will of God. And so as born again believers, we are standing under the authority of God's word. Substance. Listen, this is what substance is. I need you to get this. It says that faith is the substance of what? Of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? We are hoping for the principles, the prophecies and the promises that is locked up in this word to become a living manifestation in through our lives. So then what is substance? It is those principles. It is those prophecies. It is those promises locked up within Scripture itself. Meaning that I now take a stance under the authority of His principles, of His prophecies, and of His promises. Substance. If substance is a physical, tangible subject, object, something that I can feel, see, and touch, it no longer requires faith. Because I'm hoping for what is yet unseen. But the moment it becomes seen, I no longer require faith. So faith cannot be a physical, tangible object. I hope someone is getting this. It is a substance. It is something written in pages. And you read about the promises of God for your life. It is not something you see physically, but it's something you see with your spiritual eye, which causes a specific type of a hearing that produces the faith that you need to bring it from the supernatural into the natural. It is a substance. Are you guys with me? Listen, you need to understand that it is this. Pick up your Bibles for me. Lift up your Bibles. Lift up your Bibles. Get yourself a physical Bible. After this message, you'll go and buy one immediately. I promise you that. That word is a legal binding contract that you are standing under. You are standing under. I don't know if someone is with me. You are standing under a legal binding contract. Say contract. You are standing under a guaranteed agreement that is known as the new covenant. Listen, what I'm speaking about now is the power of attorney. What is the power of attorney? It is when there's an agreement between two parties. A contract will be drafted up. And the terms and conditions will be stipulated within the contract of this agreement. And this contract will then be signed off by two people. The one giving the power of attorney and the one receiving the power of attorney. And when I give someone the power of attorney, it means that I give them full legal rights and authority over all that I own, over all of my assets, over everything that belongs to me. There are spiritual people here in this morning that is getting what I'm about to say. I thank God for spiritually awakened people. Which means that individual almost become me. power of attorney. Hear me spiritually. That individual can sign contracts on your behalf. It will be like you signing it. That individual can speak on your behalf. It will be like you speaking. You have given them the power of attorney. But now your Bible is the power of attorney. The Bible is a legal binding contract stipulating the terms and conditions of this covenant. And this contract has already been signed, ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But it still requires one more signature, the one that power attorney has been given to. That signature is your faith. That signature is your faith. You've engaged with this contract, with the terms and conditions, which is the substance, through faith. He has given us full legal right and authority over everything He has created. I can take verse after verse, chapter after chapter. You know me. Out of the Word of God, confirming my statement. It's given you full legal right and authority over everything that He created. You are ambassadors of Christ. When an ambassador goes into another country, he represents the president. It is like the president himself is there. It is like the president himself is speaking. Who do you think you are, being called an ambassador of the Almighty, eternal, living God? Which means that where I go, and when I have taken His words through faith, and it has become a part of my being, and I speak by the inspiration of the living Spirit of the living God, what do you think is happening? It is no longer you speaking. Those words are not your words. You are speaking His words. And it's like God Himself has stepped into that place, and that God Himself is now speaking, which means that when I go into that atmosphere, must submit to the words that I am speaking. I am an ambassador of Christ. It must submit. Every force, anything in that atmosphere not of God, must submit. When I step in, what is not of God must step out. It must submit. Power of attorney. Substance. Faith is the substance. Substance is the terms and conditions. It is the terms and conditions. Are you getting this? It is like this. When you... It's like receiving a title deed to a piece of property. You cannot see the property, but just because you cannot see it does not mean that it does not exist. The title deed that you're holding, a piece of paper with a few words written on it, tells it is legally yours. It exists. It is at that location. It is there. It is a legal binding contract. It is a guaranteed agreement. It is yours. It is yours. It is written. How do I know? Here's the paper. It proves it. It's been given to me. It is the title deed to that ground. The only thing that I must do is go and claim it. The only thing I must do is to go and take action. I must go and I must go and claim it. Are you guys with me? Now, in the same way, you are holding a spiritual title deed to every promise that is locked up within the Word of God itself. The problem is that many people do not understand what they have claimed to under this new covenant. But it is written. You have been given the promises. God has already spoken. And are you guys with me? Do you know what God has said about your finances? Do you know what God has said about you excelling in life? Do you know what God has said about you prospering? Do you know what God has said concerning your victory over the forces of darkness? Do you know what God has said about your protection? Do you know what God has said about your provision? Do you know what God has said? Do you know what He has said about you excelling in life? Do you know what He has said about your deliverance? Do you know what God has said about your behalf. Do you know what God has said? You're holding a spiritual title deed, and you will have to go. I don't know if someone is getting this. You will need information. You will need knowledge of your title deed. You will need knowledge of your Bible. You will need knowledge of your substance. Faith is the substance. And you will need knowledge of that substance if you want to engage with the system and see the results. Can I go and lay claim to it? That is the question. Do I have the ability within me to go and lay claim to what has already been promised, to what has already been spoken? Because when God has said, He has already spoken. And the Bible says that He has spoken so that we may boldly speak. But I cannot boldly speak if I do not know the contents of my title deed, what I have claimed to, if I do not have knowledge of my substance. Faith. It's not just as simple as you thought it was. Faith will take you to places you have never thought possible. Faith will produce the impossibilities. Faith can see the unseen. Faith chooses not to look at facts. It rather chooses, listen, faith does not ignore facts, but it simply chooses to accept the truth. Faith will bring forth your breakthrough. Faith will cause you to shift dimensions. Faith will cause you to shift, take a stand from one place to another place. Faith will cause a shift of seasons in your life. Faith will bring forth that breakthrough that you want. You're holding a title deed in your hand. I said so many times, if you're going to go for anything, go for the word. Faith is your title deed to all those promises. It is not a physical thing. Are you guys with me? It is the guarantee that what is written belongs indeed to you. When I read and I come and I read, it's my title deed, and I come to Psalms 23 and it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. What an amazing God we serve. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Meaning that I shall lack nothing. I shall not need anything. He's saying, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff is what comforts me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You, my God, is the one who anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord God Almighty forever. And I read these promises. It is a guarantee. That right there is substance. Faith is that. Promise on paper. It's not the physical thing yet. But just because I cannot yet see it does not mean that it does not exist. Because faith is the unseen, and the spiritual dimension and the supernaturally does already exist. But that is faith. It is that substance. It is that promise. And it is me having the ability to take those words and to apply it to my life. Until I see the manifestation of those words, I no longer need faith for it, because now I see it. I'll be together now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let me finish off. And it says, faith is evidence of things not seen. Just quickly put on the screen for me, Hebrews chapter 11, the Amplified Classic, AMPC. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I love the way that the Amplified actually lays it out. Listen to this. And it says, now faith is the assurance. There we go. The confirmation, meaning that in brackets is the word substance. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Verse 2. For by faith, trust and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old have divided testimony, born to them and obtained a good report. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Which means everything that you currently can see and that is tangible to the natural senses were once invisible. But there are still stuff that remains invisible. Like your promise. Like your breakthrough. There are so many promises. I've stated this so many times. More than 7,000 promises locked up in the living word of God. And listen, every one of them applies to your life. But yet many have not yet seen the manifestation of these promises in and through their life, because they have not yet truly engaged with the spiritual system that is known as faith. And it's one simple key that will cause you to be engaged with the system of faith. It is merely gaining knowledge of what my title deed holds, of what is the terms and conditions clearly stipulated within the word of God. I don't know if someone is hearing this, because I have asked this question many times before. If I asked you to give me the blessings of God, people will maybe give me one or two or three things. More than 7,000 promises, and many can only tell me about three or four. You will only see the manifestation of the three and four that you have knowledge of. You can never see the manifestation or become a partaker of what you do not carry knowledge of. I don't know if someone is hearing this. Again, I state, if you go for anything, go for the word, because every answer to every question that you currently have, I guarantee you, every single answer to every single question that you right now have, I'm not just speaking about spiritual questions, even natural questions. Should I buy this house or should I not? Should I take this job? Should I not? Even the natural things, every answer for every question is locked up in the word. If you can only get yourself to a place where you can open it up, you will start to see things shift and change in your life. Faith sees the invisible, meaning that it sees a thing before it happens. And having the ability to see something before it happens is vision. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, sight is limited by the boundaries of what physically is happening in and around you. But vision is limited by the boundaries of your imagination. It is limitless. It is infinite. There is no telling what it is that you can accomplish in this life if only you can believe. If only you can have faith. No matter who has said that you will add up to nothing, that you were a mistake, that you should never have been. Those words is natural and does not define you. You are defined by the living word of God, under whose authority you are standing. It is a legal binding contract. So when someone comes to you and say that you were a mistake, you should never have been, that we never wanted you, that you will never add up to anything, you say, but the Bible says, and you respond with the truth. Because the only way that you can contradict a lie is by responding in truth. And you refuse, like faith that does not ignore facts, but it rather chooses to accept truth. Develop that mentality. Develop that mentality. Yes, I might have grown up in a house of poverty. Does not mean that that is what God has got for me. What has God has to say about my situation will change the situation. I don't know if you're hearing this. What does He have to say about this? I might have grown up in these circumstances, I do not need to accept it. What is he saying about it? What is the terms and conditions of your title deed? Do you know it? That is the substance of faith. Are we together now? Amen. So what is the first requirement for faith then? First requirement for faith is knowledge of your substance. Knowledge of your title deed. Knowledge of your Bible. Amen. Listen, your faith must be based upon God's word. Your faith must be based upon what he has said. So you will have to find where it is written concerning your situation. You will have to find where it is written concerning your circumstance. I'm not just speaking about bad circumstances. Every day you are facing situations and circumstances. Not all of them are always bad. But you will still have to hear what faith has got to say. Why? Because faith is now. Faith is always present. Faith is always today. And so therefore I must hear what faith is saying about this now. I'll be together now. Amen. Put on the screen for me quickly. Just quickly. Luke chapter 4 verse 17. I actually have a lot of time left. I'm doing well. I'm almost done. Luke 4 17, New King James. 4 verse 17. And it says, and he was handed, speaking about Jesus Christ, in the temple, reading out the book of Isaiah. And it says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Listen, it says when he opened the book. Say when he opened the book. Listen, it says that Jesus opened the book and he found the place where it was written concerning the situation that he was dealing with at that moment. He did this many times. When he was sent into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, led into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy, what did he do? He reverted back to what was already on the inside of him, being the living word. Hear me now. Being the living word, and he would respond out of himself being the living word. When the enemy came and said, surely you are, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, then, and he would respond, it is written. It is written. It is written. He would find the place where it was written concerning the current situation, and out of faith and belief he would respond accordingly. Are you guys with me? Please understand that there are many things that you can only find once you open the book. There are many graces that you can only experience once you open the book, the title deed. There are many dimensions that you can only gain access to once you have opened the book. Listen, let me explain to you faith. For those who have their Bibles, just quickly close it. Okay, open for me at Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. If you can't find it, Global School of Ministry next year. Just raise your hands when you have Genesis 1. Chapter 1 verse 1, just raise your hands if you have it, if you have it. Okay, now imagine this. Imagine you have never heard about God. You don't know anything about Jesus. You've never heard nothing. Gospel has not reached you, it's never been preached. But you suddenly stumble upon a Bible. I want you to get something. And you suddenly stumble upon a Bible and you open up. Now you've never heard about God. Nothing. You've never heard about Bible. You see this book. You open it up, so it's interesting, and you open it up. But what you need to understand about the Word of God, it is not a normal book. Just by opening it, there is a presence that already starts working with you, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed, given by the inspiration of God, meaning it's false with the Holy Spirit, who is the author of Scripture itself. So just opening it, you're already engaging with the author of the book without even knowing it. I need you to get this. This is powerful. Listen to this. So now you open this book, this Bible you've never heard about, and you read the first sentence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God expects a Gentile who has never heard about God to believe just by reading the first sentence in the Bible. He expects that. That you must believe from the onset just by reading, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What God? What heavens? What's before heavens? Come on now. Put yourself, you've never heard this. But this is no ordinary book. And suddenly it grabs your attention. Wow, okay, wait. Sounds interesting. And you read the second verse. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, okay, there's something else, was hovering over the face of the waters. And yes, this is really interesting. What happens next? And you start reading, and you start reading, and you start reading. And something happens in your heart. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living, active, and full of power. So when I open it, it becomes alive and active to me, full of power. Just by opening the book, there is already something shifting and changing by the Spirit of the living God. As faith is stirred, you don't even know what faith is yet, but something is happening on the inside of you. Derek Prince once gave this testimony. The man was an atheist. Yes, Derek Prince. And as part of his studies, he decided just to gain knowledge, he's going to study the Word of God. He's an atheist, meaning he does not believe there's a God. And he decided just because of his studies, he's going to add this information to his knowledge. And as he read through the Bible, he claims that suddenly, during a moment in war, he had a true life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ, listen, through the Word. Listen, if there are two things I do not doubt, it is that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And that He is alive. That when you go to His tomb, it is indeed empty. He has been risen, exalted into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. The second thing is that I do not doubt that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. And he received salvation. The man had a powerful deliverance ministry that is manifesting even through to today. You will read his books and you will still feel the anointing on it. And impartation and activation still takes place. Yet he is no longer here. One encounter. If you can open the book, for too many of you, the book is still lying there on a shelf gathering dust, unaware that you have unlimited power readily available at your fingertips. And if you can just take it and open it and start to engage with it, you will find how faith will be stirred up on the inside of you. Things will shift in the atmosphere. Things will shift in your circumstances. Things will shift. Listen, if an atheist can receive salvation just by reading the Bible, how much more you and I that already believes, filled with the Holy Spirit, should have deeper and higher encounters than that. If only you can open the book. If only you can open the book. And it says that he found where it was written. You will need to find where it is written concerning your situation for today. Concerning your situation, your circumstance for today. Because God can only commit to the degree that it is written. When you set your heart to understanding and God sees that you are doing your part, He will commit the moment that you find the place where it is written. He will commit only the moment that you find the place where it is written, because for you to act requires faith. But now faith requires a knowledge of your title deed substance. Are we together? You will have to find where it is, clothe yourself with it, and put it to action. The Bible says that a wise man ducks, he will dig down deep, and that he will lay the foundation on rock. So this is a powerful principle right there. You will have to dig deep into Scripture. And you will have to find the principles, the prophecies, and the promises concerning your life. And you will have to build upon them. Bring yourself under the authority, substance, hypostasis, under the authority of God's Word. Are you guys with me? You can only build on what you know. You will have to find where it is written concerning your life. I have 10 more minutes. I can flow. I'm actually doing very well. I'll be ending off with this. So how does faith come? And I know that many have heard this, but please listen. As we end off the first part, amen? How does faith come? Romans chapter 10 verse 17, King James. Put that on the screen for me. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Are we still together? And it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there can simply be no faith unless you hear the word of God. But now I want to backtrack, because I want to give you a bit of history leading up to this verse. Amen. Go back for me to verse 14. And it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Again, this is Paul speaking about you going into a Gentile nation who have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you start preaching the gospel. And he said, but how shall they believe? But how shall they believe if they've not heard? And then he continues, how shall they hear without a preacher? So Paul is explaining that for them to believe, they must hear. I want you to understand this hearing. In order for them to believe, they must hear. But to hear, you need a preacher. Someone who has built, accumulated a spiritual track record in the spirits, who has gained substance, and that can demonstrate what they preach. Are you guys with me? Go verse 15. And it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Say sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That word sent is very important. Now, please understand that prophet many times stated that man does not promote, God promotes. But this promotion takes place through the church structure. Please understand this. You cannot be went. You must be sent. Meaning there must be an ordination, a commissioning that takes place by the Spirit of God. And you are sent. Are you guys with me? Very important that you understand this, and that you are sent by the commissioning and the inspiration of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And then it carries on. Go for me to verse 16. I don't want to spend too much time on that. It's not where I want to get to. It says, now listen to this. This is powerful. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? He's saying that, listen, we have preached the gospel. They have heard, but they have not believed. Are you guys with me? So they have not obeyed in their hearing. I don't know if you're hearing this. They have not been obedient in their hearing, the very substance that would have caused them to believe. Which means that if I believe, then I'm obedient. Faith is the substance. If I believe, then I am obedient. I can only obey when I believe. But now I can only believe when there is a constant, continual preacher, a constant, continual teacher. Listen, it must be a hearing every day because faith is now. It is present. It is always today. Are you guys with me? So if faith is now and I can only have faith when I hear the word of God, then it means I must hear the word of God every day. Verse 17, and then we come to the verse. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now please understand, the Bible does not say that faith comes by hearing the word of God. It doesn't say that. It does not say that faith comes by hearing the word of God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, it means I need to develop this hearing. There's a very specific type of a hearing that you need that is developed by the Word of God. And this hearing will cause you to have faith. I'm not speaking about any normal type of hearing here. I'm not speaking about a natural type of hearing, because if this was a natural type of hearing, those who are deaf would have had a problem if I preached the gospel. It is a spiritual hearing that comes by what I see, because seeing is most believing. So when I read scripture, faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. There is a specific type of hearing that I must develop that will stir up my faith. And the way I develop that hearing to hear His voice is through His word. And when I have that hearing developed, that will stir faith, because now I'm sensitive to His words. I can read scripture by the inspiration of the Spirit of the living God. And I can imagine, by the inspiration of the Spirit, I can see, imagine what I'm reading. I can see myself do this, X, Y, and Z. And when I see it, I can obtain it. When I see it, then I can obtain it. Are we together now? Amen. So this verse can be translated like this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, but this hearing that I need to stir up faith comes via the Word of God. Does it make sense? Amen? Are we together now? This is what faith is. Faith is the response of the human spirit to the Word of God. Faith is the response of your human spirit towards His Word of God. How do you respond towards His Word will determine your faith. Are we together? I don't want to carry on. I want to stop there. We'll carry on with part two tonight as we go a little bit deeper. That was just the foundation to the series. I trust that you guys enjoyed it.